Matt Greenwood with you on KJF Sports Talk, powered by your local McDonald's. Tasty breakfast fast, where your Egg McMuffin is always made with a freshly cracked egg. Another great reason to wake up to the favorites you love. And, well, I know one guy that's really still celebrating. He's probably been celebrating all day, all night, and that's Shane Lowry. Yeah, guy that hails from Ireland that won the Open Championship, the 148th Open Championship at the Royal Portrush Club in Northern Ireland. Destroyed the competition, 15 under. Second closest to him was Englishman Tommy Fleetwood at 9 under. And we got Mike Murphy in studio with KJF Sports Talk Golf and More to talk just about the domination that Shane Lowry displayed for those that watched on Sunday afternoon, or Sunday morning, I should say.
This is going to be a pretty interesting show for a lot of reasons. Of course, my last name's Murphy. That should set that up pretty well for you.
Right.
It's not McIlroy, and it's a pretty interesting British. They used to call it the British Open. Now they call it the Open. And the reason for that, I'm sure, is it took over 70 years for them to go back to Northern Ireland. And I find it very interesting it took that long. But you've got to realize one of the first signs I saw on the Golf Channel was England hates Ireland.
That's crazy, okay? Isn't it?
Huh?
It's crazy.
Well, it explains a lot. So,
yeah.
I had a grandfather that migrated from Ireland to here. And, of course, my dad came from Muskegon back to the Detroit area as a youngster. And golf is one of those sports that you've got to be very, very wealthy to play. And there's not many young people that in Ireland that could even afford to play the game of golf. And it was the same way for me back in Detroit. So I kind of had a dog in the hunt. You know, I mean, last week, you know, we knew McIlroy was the favorite.
Right. And, 8-1 odds, by the way.
Oh, yeah. He was the favorite. And you could see this one coming. And even though I said, yeah, he's the odds-on favorite, I said to you on the show, there'll be somebody that wins this that will be kind of a dark horse that we don't think about. Well, Shane Lowry lived 4 miles or 4 hours from Portrush, and I knew McDowell. He doesn't have the game for it anymore. Harrington's the same way, and then
Padraig.
And then the other Irishman, Darren Clark, hit the first tee shot. He's too old, and he drinks a lot. You know, he enjoys the pubs.
Don't they all though?
Oh yeah, they do. And you'd
look at Shane Lowry, how he looks.
You'd have to understand the tradition. And, it was really fun for me to watch because I got caught up in watching him for a lot of different reasons. First of all, he's on his homeland, and that makes it very difficult. And there's a number of things that I could relate, as I may, in this story. My brother back home is a big Notre Dame fan, and everything's, Irish community. But as Dad told me back in the days when they came over here, the Irish need not apply. And when you take the British Open that's now called the Open, and it's in Portrush, oh, my God, to have an Irishman win, let's call it the British Open, which is now called the Open, To have an Irishman win his own tournament in his backyard, you can't believe how exciting that was for me. And when we talk about nationalism, we talk about all the young Irish people that I saw on the TV, and I would have given anything to have been there. I went through something very similar for myself. Before I came here to St. Louis, we had the Detroit Chevrolet tournament. And it was at Red Run Country Club. And it was the biggest money tournament, not being an open or a tour event. And back then, it was very difficult for the head pro to even allow your assistants to play. Well, he said, Mike, why don't you go ahead and go over there and play? So I did. And it was a 54-hole, $20,000 tournament at the time. So I'm reflecting to you what happened to me and how it must have felt to him. At the end of two rounds, I had 73-69, and I was two and back the leader. And actually, I got the lead after six or seven holes. And I end up finishing in the top 10. I think I tied for seventh. And I was a couple shots out of third. But my point is, this was in my own backyard at Detroit Red Run. My mother came out and watched me for 54 holes, and my dad took a day off of work to come watch me the last day. And I could tell you some of the funniest stories of my life. My mom was an interesting person, to say the least. She'd played basketball back in the day, and she coached basketball for 25 years in the inner city, and my dad worked in lumberyard. So anyways, I get to the 52nd hole, and I missed the green and got it up and down, but I made a 25-foot putt. And I said, oh, boy, thank God I made that. And I turned over, and my mom said, well, don't make it so hard on yourself. There's 5,000 people. That's my mother. I said, Mom, I'm not out here just to walk. So I go to the next hole, and there's my dad with a rosary. Good Irish Catholic man.
Uh-huh. I mean,
these are real things. I'm in my backyard, and the last 9 holes, 10 holes, there's all kinds of relatives. You know, I've got uncles. I've got people that read the article in the Detroit Free Press and the Oakland Press. And this thing started to build. And as I got to the 18th hole, I can remember my uncle telling me to hit a wood in. I said, no, I'm going to lay it up and hit a wedge in. And my point is that as a professional golfer myself, and in having that kind of family around you and that kind of support around you, I can only imagine what Shane Lowry was going through. I'm sitting there watching this and knowing this is in my backyard, this is a big deal. It isn't the U.S. Open, it isn't the British Open, but in relationship to people, it's the same thing. So here's Lowry with all the Irishmen, and the fact that they're, you know, they're pretty much in Ireland at the long period of time, were a stepchild of the English.
Mm-hmm.
So having that event there, number one, and then having him go through what he went through that week, and then as he won the tournament, first comes his dad, then his mother, then his wife, then his kids, then his brothers. And you could just see, I mean, you could see the whole family that was there. And
yeah.
I've been through similar things. When you come from a background, which we're very lucky, I'm very lucky to have done what I have done in life and enjoyed it, but to have come from that background and then be with the very elite and win, I'm going to still say the British Open, they call it the Open, but for an Irishman to win the Open at Portrush is just an amazing feat. To have won that event on a golf course that's one of the greatest golf courses, and it took 70 years of politics to get that event back there. I mean, I felt what he was going through as a player myself.
Mm-hmm.
And as a kid, that was an Irish kid raised in a city, having never thought that I could have turned professional and played the game and made a living at it, and to watch him do that those 4 days, and then watching the end of the golf tournament of all the family, all the friends, what it must be like. I guarantee you right now, if you are over in Ireland right now, he is the talk of the country.
Yeah.
And it's a neat deal.
And he's probably got fans left and right buying him something to drink.
He may be buying them.
I don't know.
You know,
that's the thing. When you're famous, people, even though when you're famous and you make a lot of money, still people pay for things for
you. Yeah, there's a lot of truth. I mean, there's no question about that. For years and years and years, that I used to be on the caravan with the Cardinals, and anywhere you go, you had Anheuser-Busch people, you know. And,
yeah.
And you'd go from 3 in the afternoon to late in the morning, I'll put it that way,
right.
You know. And it was but sitting there those 4 days and watching him shoot 62 or 63 on the third day, the interesting part about this is that they moved the tee times up an hour earlier because
yeah.
the bad weather was coming in.
Right.
And actually, I knew it was going to take that type of experience that he had to win there. They put up a stat on the board that the last six groups or five groups were like 55 over par.
Wow.
Well, the rain came in and the wind started blowing, and that golf course really got hard. And he had won. Another interesting story about him, the broadcasters said this. His mother and father, which if you could see them, you would just really enjoy it. It's they're good Irish people. And he won the Irish amateur there, okay? I think at Port Rush. But his mother saved all the money they could. Now, I'm not going to get the currency right because it's Irish currency. But she turned the lights out, turned the heat down, and bet on her own son to win the Irish tournament. It was like 250-1 odds. But you can imagine.
Was he really 250-1?
Yes. Not for this event.
Oh, for the amateur event.
For the amateur event.
Yeah, this I would hope his odds were a little bit better.
Oh, I'm sure they were. I'm sure they were 35, 40. But he was kind of off the radar, okay? But it was an interesting story. And coming from, you know, my grandfather coming from Ireland, and Dad told us about all the things that Grandpa went through and then County Cork, and then watching their parents see him win the Open, the British Open, now called the Open, in Ireland, there just can't be any greater thrill in life to see your son do something like that. So as a result of those 4 days, that will go down in my repertoire of watching golf as the single greatest event that I've enjoyed watching somebody from that part of the world win on their own golf course within 4 hours of Port Rush.
Yeah, something incredible, you know, and probably something that that Lowry had to think long and hard about when it came to answering reporters' questions as to how you put this sort of moment into words, because it's just it goes for anyone, you know, if an Olympic athlete, like an American Olympic athlete,
sure,
or the Olympics are in Atlanta, Georgia, or something like that, and they go and they win the 100-meter dash or whatever it is, you know, in front of your entire nation, and that's pretty much what Shane Lowry did there. I can't even imagine what that feels like.
The hardest thing in life, in my opinion, is to play an individual sport and then to win it, you know. And when you get a team sport, I've got all kinds of great friends. I mean, winning the 82 World Series with Steve Braun and Ozzie Smith and watching Whitey Herzog win that and being part of the Anheuser-Busch experience, being at that club, it's a tremendous thing. But when you get into an individual sport and that pressure and the emotion that goes with that, I mean, the morning that I got up, and I had a chance to win the Chevrolet back home. I mean, I didn't sleep. And then, you know, the relatives. And then, they announce your name. And as they announce your name with the score, you hit it. Well, I hit the ball before they even announced my name and the score. I mean, that's how nervous you are.
Yeah.
And he had the entire weight over and above winning a golf tournament. He has the whole country of Ireland rooting for him.
Well, that's what I was going to bring that up earlier. It's easy to, I think, play an individual sport when you don't think anyone's watching. But then as soon as you know that people are watching, it's like, oh, my gosh, now I got to put on a good performance. You know, I don't want to embarrass myself, that sort of thing. I want to represent them well. And so, yeah, an entire country saying, you know, go Shane Lowry. You know, they start the Shane Lowry chants. And mm-hmm. I'm sure you heard a couple of those on the golf course and what have you. And mm-hmm. The pressure builds up, I'm sure.
Well, Your family alone will build pressure.
True.
You know, right. when you look at mom and dad, relatives and friends, and you're standing there in a golf tournament, I don't care if it's something as nice as your Missouri Amateur. You know, you got family and friends that are rooting for you, and the toughest people in the world, I think, to play in front of are your relatives.
Right.
And he's got them there. Plus, he's got the whole countryside. And he handled it so well that it was just incredible. And then, to his credit, Tommy Fleetwood put the first hole. The first three holes of a golf tournament, the last three holes will tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
I always, you know, I know the first three holes I play in the golf tournament, the last three holes I play in the golf tournament, even to this day, they're the toughest part of the golf tournament. Well, Lowry got off to a shaky start. I mean, he hits the ball to the left and hits it into a bunker and just gets it on. He makes like a 5 or 6 footer for a bogey.
Bogey, yep.
And then Tommy Fleetwood has a 12, 14 footer for birdie. There could have been a 3-shot swing right there.
Right.
But he settled himself down. And he couldn't have played the tournament any better. It's one I'll remember for a long time to come. I've had calls from several people, all Irish, by the way.
Of course.
Thought it was the greatest Open that they ever watched. Well, you know, they had a dog in a hunt, basically.
Right.
And you can only imagine what that is like in the northern part of Ireland, in a very poor part of our country, to have won something like that on a golf course like that, the way he won it. And there's a lot of things that happen, but this was one of the great events for me, having watched the Open for years, the British Open for years.
Right.
Now it's the Open. And I hope that they bring that tournament back to Northern Ireland sooner rather than later, because the golf course, which I've never seen, most people haven't, unless, because you've never had it on TV. You know, you go to Scotland, you'll see St. Andrews, and you'll see Turnberry, and you know, you'll see Troon. You'll see all the great golf courses. And Ireland's got some great golf courses, but it kind of tells you that it took a long time to get there for a reason.
Right. You know, the Americans had a pretty decent showing there. Mm-hmm. I mean, Ricky Fowler finished 5-under, tied for 6. Patrick Reed was just inside the top 10. Brooks Koepka, you know, world's number 1, tied for 4th. Mm-hmm. And Tony Finau finished 3rd. So, you know, and you said it last Monday, when the Americans go over there, the conditions are different.
Oh.
It's a different kind of wind. It's a different kind of feeling to it. And so sometimes they don't succeed as well. And, I mean, they didn't. An American didn't win the Open. An Irishman finished 1st, and an Englishman finished 2nd, and an Englishman finished 4th. But the Americans had a good showing.
You know what's incredible? I've been over and I've played. When you see Pebble Beach here, you know, when we had the Open this year, you'll see all kinds of people out on the beach. Well, you got Northern Ireland, you hardly see anybody out there, because
right.
and the people distinctly, they don't have any tan.
Yeah,
I mean they're very white skinned
right.
because the sun hardly comes out over there.
Right.
But had that golf tournament looked like the last 3 hours for 4 days, it would have been over par. And he was ended up what 15 under.
15 under, yeah.
Yeah, but the last, if you look at the last 5 or 6 groups, nobody was under par. That's how hard it was, because the rain came in and the winds came in, and that's exactly what happens in that part of the country, and that's what makes the Open so hard. And you could just see those guys absolutely struggling. J.B. Holmes, what was he, 15, 16 over?
16 over on in the final round, yeah.
Yeah.
He started out 10 under.
Yeah.
Finished 6
yeah.
over for
and
the
And Koepka
tournament.
Started with 4 bogeys. But you give me the scores of the last 5 or 6 players, all of them are over par, right? Lowry shot, what, 72, par 71?
Yeah, Lowry even shot a 1 over.
Yeah, okay, give me the scores, and you'll see what I'm talking about there.
Let's see, Fleetwood 3 over.
Yeah.
Tony Finau actually finished even. Lee Westwood 2 over. Koepka 3 over. Robert McIntyre actually had one of the
he got out early.
Yeah.
See, that's the point. He got out early ahead of everybody.
Yeah, this leaderboard that I'm looking at doesn't break it down
correct.
by
pairings.
Correct,
but your last 5 or 6 leaderboards, nobody
yeah.
was under par.
Right.
And that showed you how rough the conditions were. But Shane Lowry has etched his name in to the Cleric Jug, and it will be there for a long, long time. So there's two things that I've enjoyed this year. Number one, the Blues winning the Stanley Cup, and Mr. Lowry winning the Cleric Jug.
There you go. And so now, you know, golf continues, doesn't it?
it does.
It goes beyond the Open even.
Where's it go next week?
That's I was hoping you would actually talk a little bit longer.
The FedEx Cup is coming, and you know, and obviously Tiger Woods missed a cut, McIlroy missed a cut, Mickelson missed a cut.
Yeah,
3 big names.
I think I saw an article or a headline of an article that said that Tiger and Phil not making the cut was the first time that's ever happened in a major where those two have played.
And I can believe that.
Yeah,
I can believe that.
At least one of them, when they're in a major, have at least made it to Saturday.
And let me give you a little thing. When you get to have a little age on you and you get cold weather, that's hard to play in that type of stuff. And you can see it with Tiger. You can see it with Phil.
Especially with Tiger, because you know he's had the back issues,
that's right.
And there's so many muscles in the back that you use.
That's
and
correct.
When it gets cold, it kind of
that's correct
hardens him a little bit, freezes him up, and it's hard to get loose. You know,
I tell you, the real surprise of the whole tournament was Lee Westwood. Lee Westwood is the best player that's never won a major, and he was like 6 under.
Yeah, he finished 4th.
He was in good shape, but that was quite a tribute to him too, that he played as well as he did. But you know, there was a period of time where, and I still do feel this way because it is our U.S. Open. That's my favorite tournament. But I do have to say that I'll have to put the British right up the British. I got to put the Open right up there.
I mean, it can go back to being the British Open if they play, you know, in Great Britain next year.
Yeah, that's true. It's true.
But when it's in Ireland or Northern Ireland, it's something else.
Yeah, there's entirely a little sarcasm in my voice.
I know
that the Irishman won and beat the Brits and beat the Englishmen and, you know, the people from over there. It's well documented that it's quite an experience to come from that part of the country, and I'd like to be among them this week. I really would.
Like I heard on the broadcast, I never thought about it, but this Open Championship was the last one of the decade.
Really?
Yeah, because next year's 2020. We won't have a major until 2020 now.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that. I thought, it's the last one. He goes, it's the last one of the year and the last one of the decade. I'm like, oh, that's right.
They string the majors. I mean, if you look at our majors in the next 10 years, they pretty much got those sights set. But I hope I live long enough to see that tournament back there. And the comment by everybody is just how great the people are.
Mm-hmm.
And they just seemed like it just came off very, very well. The golf course was just fantastic. My brother, who I will see here in another 10 days, said to me, he said, Mike, there's something on my bucket list. I said, what is it, John? He says, we got to go back to Ireland. So when I go back home, we're going to talk about it.
Okay. And, your brother lives in Detroit,
Detroit, so? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And it's something, I guess I've been very fortunate to have traveled a lot and seen a lot of things. And the only thing I would have to say that I would really want to do is I'd want to go back to that part of the country and spend 10 to 14 days. And after I saw it on TV, there's no doubt in my life that's something I want to do.
Yeah, even 10 to 14 days probably wouldn't feel like enough.
No, it wouldn't.
It never does when you go on vacation, does it?
Matter of fact, I said, John, if we get over there and like it, maybe we'll buy some property.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, start your own golf club.
Yeah, but it's a great tournament for the Irish, and they're smiling today, and not a lot of work going on over there, I can tell you right now.
Yeah?
But thank you, Shane Lowry. It was great watching you this past weekend, and I tip my hat to you because I have a feeling as to how he handled it and what he went through, he couldn't have done it any better.
Agreed. And as we had brought up earlier, you know, what's next,
yeah,
as if anyone cares.
Exactly.
We got two tournaments going on. The World Golf Championships, presented by FedEx. It's the St. Jude Invitational.
It's in Memphis. Yep. Yeah. That's only 4 hours from here. That's next week?
Yeah, coming up this Thursday. Huh,
it's
yeah.
in Memphis, yeah. We're getting ready for, you know, the FedEx run. What's the schedule look like?
Let's see. Well, on that same this Thursday, if that makes any sense, Barracuda Championship in Reno, Nevada.
Uh-huh.
But then after that, August 1st is actually a Thursday, Wyndham Championships Championship in Greensboro, North Carolina. And then you have the Northern Trust, which is August 8th through 11th, and then the BMW Championship, August 15th through the 18th.
Yeah.
Do they give you a BMW if you win that thing? I think so.
Yeah, that's the third leg. That's the third leg of the FedEx Cup.
Sign me up. I'll give it a go.
BMW?
Yeah.
Where's that at this year? Normally, they change that around. Where's that at?
I'm going to assume it's Medina, Illinois.
Medina? Medina's up in Chicago.
Yeah.
Is it at Medina?
At Medina.
Oh, my gosh. Huh. Yeah, I've got one of my best friends was Mike Secoy. Mike was there for a long time, and he was at Sunset Ridge and at Flossmoor also, but... That might be an interesting trip. Medina's a great golf course. They've hosted the Open and the PGA Championship.
Okay. Yeah, that's the middle of August.
Yeah, great golf course. It's a great time of the year to play up there.
And then there is the Tour Championship.
In Atlanta.
August 22nd through the 25th, yep. East Lake Golf Course Golf Club in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah, I saw something really interesting that they're working on. They're working on a skins game with Tiger Woods, Jason Day, Rory McIlroy, and Hideki Matsuyama in Japan.
Hey, there you go. That's actually really good.
How'd you like that pronounced?
You always leave those.
I was going to leave that for you.
That you did a good job.
Yeah. How about
I mean,
that?
As far as I'm concerned, that's how it's supposed to sound.
I don't know if I said it right, but...
Hideki Matsuyama, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
But they got a skins game.
Okay.
That they're working on sometime in October. But can you imagine that in Japan? What that's going to be like?
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. If we ever get a Japanese player to win a major, they're going to go, that place will go wild over there too.
So that's yet to happen, huh?
Never happened.
Wow.
I had many good friends of mine that were obviously older people. And I said, what happened to the Japanese? He said, Mike, they had some of the greatest players that you could possibly think of World War II, and they lost a lot of them. But the Japanese players back in the 40s were great, great players. But we still have not had a major winner. And you can just imagine what would happen if we could get one of the Japanese players to win a major.
Yeah.
Huh? Be something.
I'd be pretty okay with that.
You could see how I feel about the Irish winning.
Yeah.
You can imagine how the Japanese would feel if they could get one of their own to win a major.
Well, yeah. they had a guy named Yosuke Asaji,
mm-hmm.
who finished 6 over, tied for 67th. Matsuyama didn't even make the cut. They had another guy, Yuki Inamori, that also made it to Saturday. So two mm-hmm. guys that finished top 72. So that's not bad, but Matsuyama probably presents them as their best chance.
And I'll bring this up. The next biggest event that the Irish will have, they play Alabama in 27 and 28.
Ah, look at you.
Home and away.
Yeah, there you go. Clever.
I'm aware of that, too. Yeah.
Okay. All right, Mike, let's take a quick break, and we still got about 5 minutes to go, so we'll come back with a little five-minute thing about the Cardinals and Astros coming up this weekend.
Yeah, that's coming up. Plus, they've been on a nice win streak, and I got a few comments about that.
All right, sounds good. We'll hit it up next. Enjoyed that long intro back into KJF Sports Talk, powered by your local McDonald's. Matt Greenwood with you, and Mike Murphy here as well. We just talked about Shane Lowry winning the 148th Open Championship held in Northern Ireland. The Irishman Lowry doing something that only a lot of us can dream of, and that's winning a major title, whatever sporting event it is, in front of your home crowd. So congratulations to him. And now we're going to talk a little Cardinals baseball as we have about 4 minutes left in the program. Mike's got a few comments he'd like to add about the Cardinals, who right now are 2.5 back of the Cubs for first place at 51-47. Mike?
What I find fascinating is they've won 7 of their last 10 games, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they've done it with a lineup that is a very young lineup. I don't know if you have paid any attention to this, but Edmund been playing third since Carpenter's been out.
Yep, I've noticed.
O'Neill has been playing left field when our left fielder's been out. And then the catcher, Wieters, is that his name?
Yep, Matt Wieters. Yep.
Matt Wieters. He's caught, let's see, out of the last 10 games he's caught 9, and our starting pitching has been better. Don't you find that interesting? You've got Molina
yes.
out, you've got Ozuna out, and you got Carpenter out. And we've won basically 7 of the last 10 games and put us 2.5 back. I just find it interesting. Now, whether these young players can keep playing at that level, who knows? But it's given them a spark.
That's all you really kind of need. I mean, that's winning 7 out of 10. I mean, that's a good start. That's a starting point.
The All-Star break, yeah.
Yeah, the All-Star break helps. You know, chance for guys to kind of rest mentally and reassess how they're going to approach the second half of a baseball season. And, you know, I mean, the Cardinals have veterans and they have guys that know how to win. And that's, you know, they're going to have to, a lot of the young guys and a lot of just in general, the fans are going to have to fall back on knowing that that is the case, that there are veterans on this team with Yachty and Carp and Goldschmidt as well. And Paul DeJong could kind of consider him sort of a veteran for the Cardinals because he's been with them a while. But, mm-hmm. but yeah, I mean, as a fan, there's really not much else you can do other than just continue to support them. I mean, they're a team that is going to win some games, and they're going to lose some heartbreakers, but you know, they're a team that's, you know, they can be better than what they are. We all know that.
I agree with that.
It's going to take the veterans to really step up their game.
I agree with that, and it's going to be my point is, and the reason I'm bringing it up, they got picks for four games, right, coming up.
Yep.
And then they catch Houston and Chicago.
Yep.
And those are the six games that I'm going to really be interested in watching, and I'm going to be interested in seeing what their lineup looks like. Okay. And as a Cardinal fan, it's just interesting to see what they're going through right now. And over the last 7 out of 10 games, the names that I mentioned have kind of been carrying the water for them. And it would be nice to see our veterans, if they're good and healthy, come back. And hopefully this may remind us a little bit of what the Blues have done. You know, it's,
right. Yeah, exactly.
It's exactly.
Don't give up
what's
on a
St.
Louis team, yeah.
No. It's just an interesting season to watch a baseball team that we're also familiar with certain names. And then watching our younger players grab a hold of this the last 7 out of 10 games, knowing that Chicago and Houston's coming to town, and our veterans will probably be very close to being ready at that point. It's going to be fun to watch. Got a good Houston team, and you got a Chicago team that we're 2.5 games in back.
I agree. And I mean, and the Cubs one is more important right now than the Astros one. I mean, they're all important, but like in terms of, you know, setting up a tiebreaker, if you will, you know, home field advantage in a wild card game if something like that were to happen. So, yeah. Lee Smith, by the way, chose the Chicago Cubs to put on the Hall of Fame plaque.
He did?
Yep, he did.
Okay. That's interesting. You know, I happened to have an opportunity to meet him a couple times, and his Hall of Fame career was outstanding. I don't know what hat he wore, but he was with the Cubs a number of years.
Yes, he was. All right, that's it for our show. Take care. I'll be back with you at 5 o'clock.
Serving Jefferson County 24 hours a day. Straight Talk, AM 1400 KJFM. Festus, Crystal City, Arnold.